Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Ayin Vav. And we are holding right at the top word of the daf, but we do need to remember what's happening over here. And basically, the Gemara is trying to figure out whether Rebbe Eliezer, who holds that it's possible to do a hafara in advance, does he mean that the neder is chal and then becomes batal immediately upon its chalos? Or does he mean that he's preventing the neder from being chal at all? Now, yesterday, we brought a raya from the language of the way that the Chachomim were arguing with Rebbe Eliezer, that since they compared it to a mikveh, that the point over here was that they were trying to say that the mikveh would prevent something from becoming tameh if it's in the mikveh at that time. So as if somebody's in a mikveh and he touches a sheretz, that's the classic case of tovo v'sheretz biyado, and the halacha is that he is tameh. So if they're bringing that as a raya against Rebbe Eliezer, that means that they understand that the meaning of Rebbe Eliezer is that it's similar to the mikveh. What's the case in the mikveh? Obviously, the mikveh couldn't allow the tumah to be chal and then disappear. I mean, if it actually was chal, how would it disappear if the guy's not in the mikveh? So the point is that they're saying that it shouldn't be chal at all. So there's your proof. That's where we were up to yesterday. Today, the Gemara says, well, if you want to be medayik here, you could be medayik the exact opposite. If you keep on reading, Ema Seifa. And the argument that they produce to Rebbe Eliezer in the Seifa is the opposite. Because over there they say to Rebbe Eliezer, look, according to you who says what? Well, we're going to see very clearly that according to you who says that you would actually allow the neder to be chal, and then it would become at that moment instantly batal because of the fact that in advance you were made for it. Uh-oh, because look what they say. Why can't you say that if your matbil a kli tameh, once it becomes tameh, you can put it into a mikveh, and what happens? It becomes tar. So for sure, you should be able to be matbil the kli in advance, not that it shouldn't become tameh. That we tried that argument yesterday. Here it says, where'd he go? Here it says, you could be matbil, there we go. And you could be matbil it in advance, so that when it becomes tameh, it will become instantly tar. Is that what you're going to try to say? Of course not. Yeah, everybody understands once something would become tameh, you'd have to put it into the mikveh in order to be matirah. So what does this show you? Shows you very clearly that what we're discussing is shmamin al-chaylin, and that they're making fun of a kavachomer that would allow a neder to be chal and then become batal because of the fact that you did that far in advance. What else is the crazy comparison over here? Let's say that it should be tameh and then immediately become tar. So then that supports the opposite. I don't understand. How are you bringing any kind of raya from this bright that doesn't seem to know what's going on, this bright? So if shmamin al-chaylin, I'm ready. You know what's clearly going on over here? The Rabbanan that were discussing this with Rebbe Eliezer, they didn't really know what he was trying to say. Lo kaimi, they themselves, lo kaimi lo mitaimi to Rebbe Eliezer. So they weren't sure. So they had to make both arguments to Rebbe Eliezer. They said to him like this, we don't know what you're saying. We don't know whether you're saying that the neder should never be chal, or whether you're saying that the neder should be chal and then instantly batal, which is the shaila that we raised in our Gemara. So fine. So then the Rabbanan here, they had the same question. Because of that, we are going to ask you from either approach. If what you're trying to say is that first that they should be chal and then they should be batal, then this latest discussion makes you see how absurd that is. So then, being tevel a kli in advance, so that if it touches a sheretz, it will immediately become tar. I mean, those are like self-repairing tires, right? That'd be great. Every kli contains a built-in mikveh, so that as soon as it touches a sheretz, it becomes tar. What a deal. And we could get rid of all of those problems. They'd be able to sell you all of those percolators. You wouldn't have to worry about being tevel them. You know, it'd be great, right? It is great anyway. So that would be the question. And if you hold the other way, that the hafar prevents it from being chal at all, And you're saying that they're lo chayil in it at all. So then we ask it in the other way. And ilosra lo chayil, and then mikvah. The original question that we had from the mikvah, that it should, if you're in the mikvah, it prevents the tumah from affecting you. So then that would be the point over here also, right? So then you do the afar, which prevents the netter from being chal up front. Okay? So from here, we obviously can't bring a raya. All right, do we have a raya or don't we have a raya? We do have a raya. And our raya is from the absolutely best possible source, Rabbi Eliezer himself. So when Rabbi Eliezer makes the argument with the Chachamim to prove his approach, what he says is like this, Tashma, Amar Laem Rabbi Eliezer, Umazraim Tmeim, Kivan Shezaram Bekarka Tahorein. It says in the Posek, Kol Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya, that if Yipol Minivlatam Alav, if a nevela falls on Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya, then the idea over there would be that if it's Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya, at that point, it's Taharhu. Oh, okay. So what does that mean? It means that if you have Zraim that became Tameh, and you plant them in the ground, then they become tahar. Why? Because basically they become bottled to the ground, which is the essence of a mikvah, really. The mikvah takes that which is tameh and restores it back to its primal pre-coming out of the yam status, so to speak. So it's still in a state of evolving. It's part of the world. It's part of the yam. That's why we call, if we touch a mikvah, to water that is possible for a mikveh. That's what we usually do. So we have a little mikveh. This, look how happy they are with it. I mean, it's amazing. You see, Yitzi and Ariel are literally sitting in that mikveh with joy. So we take the tameh, the water shu'uvim, and we touch it. And we touch it to the other water. That is called zeruah. Same thing, we have our bottle of Coke, right? So what we do is we table the whole thing. And then everything inside becomes tahar, even the mashkim that were tamein. Why? Because they're zeruim. That's what we call it. That's based on this idea. So something which is part of the world is automatically tahar. And it only becomes open to tumah when it's detached and it's isolated from reality, right? Okay, so then I'll make you kalva chomer, says Rabbi Eliezer. And you'll see that you guys yourself buy into this kalva chomer. Tell me something. What's the din if somebody touches a growing plant? So this zera was already zeruah. Now he touches it with a sheretz. Does it become tameh? No. How do you know? I'll tell you how you know. It's a kalva chomer, just like I say. If something which was already tameh and you plant it becomes tar, kol shekein, if it's already planted, then it can't become tameh. Aha. Can't become tameh. That's what Rabbi Eliezer himself said. So what was he saying? The netter doesn't become a netter. Not that it becomes a netter and then it disappears. I mean, you'd never say, touch a sheretz to the plant becomes tameh, and then instantly becomes tar. That's ridiculous. So then that what we mean over here is straight from Rabbi Eliezer's mouth, that the whole point of the kal v'chomer was to show the netter will never be chal. That's the solution. Now, we have, no longer have a doubt, and that certainly is not that Rabbi Eliezer was suggesting first let the netter be chal, and then let it suddenly go poof, because of the fact that it had a hafora built in. That wasn't the point. So let's see it inside. Omar lam Rabbi Eliezer, umazraim tmeim, ki manchazaram bekar katohorim, which we know from the posseg, zruim va'omdim lo kol shekein. So what, that's the only way that we know. Because you don't have a pasuk to tell you that. So nonetheless, everybody takes for granted that if something is zeruah in the karka, that it's not going to be makabel tumah. So you see. But anyway, shmar min alo chaylin. So clearly, according to Rabbi Eliezer, no further discussion. He meant that in doing hafara in advance, you're preventing the netter from being chal at all. Now, I don't really believe any of this. Says the Gemara, it's ridiculous. You've turned this into a question about whether this is a kal v'chomer. You've made it so brilliant. Yes, we cannot compare a question of status to a question of kula v'chumra, and therefore status is not open to making a kula v'chumra, which is necessary, obviously, for kal v'chumra. If you can't point out kula v'chumra, you're not going to have much of a kal v'chumra. And if you're telling me that it's a function of states of being and not of kula v'chumra, that was the Ran's argument, so then the Rabbanan don't believe in that being a kal v'chomer. That's ridiculous. Nobody argues on that. Why, one of the most famous kal v'chomers in the world that no one was ever heard arguing about. I mean, maybe this last thing you could say is not much of a proof. Why? I don't know. Do you know for a fact that the Rabbanan said beferish that Zroyim are not mekabel tumah if they're there? No. So maybe they don't know that. I don't know. And you know what? Do you know that they wouldn't have learned this directly out of the Pusuk of Kol Zera Zeruah? Maybe they learned that to mean that if the plant is already planted, then Taharu. How do you know that they're learning it from a kafir? That doesn't prove anything to me. But I'll tell you what does prove something to me. Well, Tanya, Yochoyim Koradamet Pitoki Shihinara. This is something everybody learns in the fourth grade. You might think it's part of learning Mishpatim. You might think that a person can sell his daughter for an oma when she's already a gedela and she's 12 years old. And what's the classic answer? Of course not. It's a kal v'chomer. What's a kal v'chomer? If she was already sold while she was a ketana, the din is that she's yotza b'simanim. So if mechura kvar yotza, ena mechura, ena din sheloti macher, isn't it obviously true that if she wasn't sold, so then you can't sell her, because if you had sold her, she would already be yotze. Oh, excuse me. According to what we just said, that's not a kula v'chorma. That's not a kal v'chorma. That's just different states, you know. So how do you know that kal v'chorma? Obviously, we do kal v'chormas like that. Says the Gemara, we do. You're right, 100%. We have created a completely wrong vision of this whole idea. You know what? Let's go back to the way it was originally. Of course, normally we would have said a kal v'chomer like that. Be'alma darshi kal v'chomer. Remember what we said in the Mishnah? We didn't say we don't like your kal v'chomer. What did we say? We said, it says in the pasuk, isha yekimenu, v'isha yeferenu. That's what we said. Why did we say that? Because that was the whole point. We were saying, if a pasuk indicates otherwise, then don't make a kal v'chomer to do circles around the pasuk and figure out why the pasuk is that way. Accept the fact. And all of the riyas that we were bringing you until now, well, why don't we say this kal v'chomer? In every one of those cases, the pasuk was the reason that we didn't make that kal v'chomer, was because it was clear from the pasuk. That's all. And therefore, we never meant to say that it's not a good kal v'chomer. We know that, let's say, in the case of being in a mikvah, when he's tovu v'sheretz biyado, we learned that out of a pasuk. That's not because it wasn't a kal v'chomer. We learned that out of a pasuk, that extra pasuk, that Hillel was derish. Nogeya b'nivlatam yitma, says Hillel, even if they're in the mikvah, that extra pasuk. And so on. I mean, so every case that we brought you was not a case where we don't believe it's a kal v'chomer, but where we believe that there was an indication in the pasuk not to be darish the kal v'chomer. That's all. So we're telling you the same thing. Yes, you're right, it's a kal v'chomer. But isn't isha yeferenu and isha yekemenu more powerful than your kal v'chomer? That's all we're saying. So that it's not that we have any reason to argue with the kal v'chomer, and the whole thing that we created over here about there being a difference between kula and chumra and so on, it sounded brilliant, but forget it. Okay, that's the point. At shabalaklal hakem, balaklal hefer. At shalobalaklal hakem, lo balaklal hefer. And that's what it was all about from the beginning. And now, brilliantly, Zoom has put El Roi right next to Yitzi and Ariel so that as they smile, he smiles. And that way, we finally get a hookup over here to get some energy into El Roi's smile. What's going on over here? Life is grand. Grab it while you can. Gosh. Who wouldn't love to have that situation at El Roi's Gadbuli Ayin Hara, right? Sitting over there in the yeshiva, everything clear, no rechayim al tzavorai, got the best chavrusas, the best yeshiva, look at that Beis HaMedrash, wouldn't you be smiling from ear to ear? Okay. Now we're ready for our kapitan. Hafarat nedarim. Okay, so now we understand the various approaches to how the hafara works. What we don't know yet, remember, we've basically been darshaning the pasuk step by step, right? So we were talking about the various diyukim, whether it's dafka isha, how clearly does it have to be isha, and that can it be a two women at once, and how 100% clear is it aleha, do they already have to be chal? How long when it says that the husband has an opportunity? Be yom shom o. How long is that yom shom o? Is it a 24-hour day? Is it till the end of the day? Says the Mishnah, hafarat nedarim kol hayom. It is only all day, but all day means, as opposed to what you might think, all day meaning 24 hours. No, it's all day, which sometimes is longer and sometimes is shorter. That's the meaning of the word yesh b'davar l'hakel v'l'hachmir. Doesn't mean kula v'chumra. It means, as opposed to thinking that it's always the same amount of time, 24 hours. No, sometimes it's a long time. Sometimes it's a short time and you only have 30 seconds to be made for that netter. And if you don't act quickly, pow, the netter is going to be chal by default. That's what the Mishnah said. Ketzad. So let's imagine a case. The woman makes a netter Friday night. Well, he's got the whole Shabbos to be made for the netter. Yafer b'leile Shabbat, v'yom ha-Shabbat, achetach shach, until the end of Shabbos. He can go ahead and be made for the netter. Why do we talk about Shabbos bedavka? Obviously, because we want also to bring up the issue about whether you could do a farsa b'orim on Shabbos, or is it similar to dinim or other issues, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. So we bedavka take this case and bring out at the same time, and you darn well better be able to do it on Shabbos, because you sure as heck aren't going to be able to do it after Shabbos, and that exactly would be the reason why, even if it wasn't Letzorech HaShabbat, you should still be able to be made for the netter. So therefore, he's got all basically 24 hours. But what if she makes the netter right before the end of the day? Then you have all of 30 seconds. So nodra im chashecha, mefer, only ad shalote chashecha, only until like the last minute. That's it, which is might be 30 seconds. She im chashecha, once it turns dark and you hadn't done afara, you'll never be able to do afara again. Which is exactly why we're telling you could do it on Shabbos. Tanya. Hafarat nidarim kol hayom. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon disagree with fundamentally with the Mishnah. And they say that the idea of hafaras nidarim is a 24-hour process. And therefore, it's absurd to talk about kula v'chorma because it's always exactly the same. At whatever point of the day, you heard about the netter, you have 24 hours precisely from that moment to be made for the netter. So then, what do they do with the pasuk? Well, let's see. What was the basis of the Tanakama? The Tanakama, well, it's very clear. It says, Beferish in the pasuk, the im hacharesh yacharishla, the original pasuk is that he has specifically only biyom shom'o. So that it says, hecharish la biyom shom'o at the end of the pasuk. So biyom shom'o is the day. The day is whatever the day is. When the day comes to an end, then you don't have the day anymore. That's what the Tanakhama holds. Seems to be quite clear. Until you look at the beginning of the pasuk. Because according to the Rabbanan, meaning according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, this is all very nice to talk about biyom shomo at the end of the pasuk, but take a look how the pasuk begins. Ve'im achareishi acharish la isha miyom el yom. What does miyom el yom mean? I mean, if that don't mean 24 hours, I don't know what else. I mean, that's 24 hours. So what's going on? Now, Dvorah's got a great idea. Dvorah says, all you need to do is fly to a different time zone, and then it's still the same yom, right? So just in case you happen to have any nedarim and there was no chance at hafara, you can always hop a flight. Okay, that's true. As long as it didn't close on you. If it closed on you already, going back in time, Lechora is not going to help. But okay, in any event, it's pretty clear that it's 24 hours. I mean, how can you claim that Miyom El Yom doesn't mean 24 hours? That's wild. I mean, you're including 2 days, Miyom El Yom. You're including 2 days in the story. So whatever point in the day it is now, you're waiting El Yom to that same point in the next day. What a beautiful way of expressing the concept of 24 hours. Gosh. Wait a minute, you know something? That's a very good raya. What does the Tanna Kamma do with that? The Tanna Kamma, explain to us how you understand the words miyom el yom. Well, what does that mean? Well, no, I mean, according to the Tanna Kamma, the miyom el yom simply comes to tell me that you've got yourself a full 24 hours, but it has to be on the same day. That's the point. Because what would I have thought if I didn't know that you have a full 24 hours? I would have thought, if it would have said biyom shamo, that it's a din in the yom. I mean, there's a lot of things like that in terms of mishpat. It's supposed to be biyom, right? So maybe I would think that this is sort of halacha of mishpat. And since, so to speak, the Baal is taking the place of the Bez, that it's going to be mati the neder, so he can only do this in the daytime. Therefore, I want to know, no, you've got the full miyom el yom from the end of the previous day till the end of this day, meaning all night long you can still be matir the net, made for the neder. That's all that it comes to say. But, I mean, otherwise it wouldn't have stressed biyom shamo at the end, which means on the day. So in order to avoid the ambiguity about the question of whether this is referring to how long or whether it's referring to when. So because of that, we say both. As far as the when is concerned, night or day. As far as how long is the Yom Shema? Okay, great. That's a beautiful explanation. So it's true, because imi Yom Shema, then I would have understood it to mean, hava amina dafke biyamama, baba layla yalo. Therefore, it says, miyom el yom. Aha, beautiful. Okay, and according to the two shitot that we had, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, that they say, no, yom el yom means kipshuta. It means 24 hours. What did they do with the pasuk of biyom shama'o? Ah, say they, because I need to know that we're talking about on that day. That's what biyom shama'o means. That day is what we're referring to. Not that day, but that day. Huh? Yeah, because look, if it would have said only miyom el yom, I would have said, miyom el yom avamina, it means from one day in the week to the equivalent day in the next week. Miyom el yom. So it said from Sunday to Sunday, from Tuesday to Tuesday. So in order to make sure that I don't make that mistake, so the Torah had to say, which day? That day. I'm talking about the miyom el yom, meaning the 24 hours of the day that you actually made the neder on, not of the week. That's the point. So it stresses the day. Because iksi miyom el yom havamina michad b'shabbat lechad b'shabbat leferle. Therefore, it has to say, we're talking about a day, not a week. Okay, now how long in the day? 24 hours. Miyom el yom, from that day to the next day. Okay, so now both the Tanna Kamma's approach and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's approach seems quite reasonable. Now that we see the ways of their understanding, the interaction between these two statements, since the Torah puts it together in the same pasuk, it's clear that they are meant to be complementary. We need to understand the entire idea from seeing both of them together. That's the approach. Anyway, halacha lemaisa, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ein halacha koto hazor. We do not paskin like that, and we only have till the end of the day. Actually, now Levi thought that we should paskin like that, and he was going to go according to that approach. Levi savar lemevet kani tanoi. So Rav said to him, I have a Kabbalah from my uncle, Rabbi Chia, that Hochi Omer Chavivi, Ein halacha koto hazuk. Now, this next piece, I must say, the Ran has a very strange explanation of it. And there's no question that the right explanation is the rush. I mean, I can't imagine. But anyway, here's how the Ron understands it. The Ron understands that since we just mentioned Rav, you know, so we're already going to be telling me a story about Chiya Bar Rav. It's like very strange. And this story is about a completely different issue, nothing that we've been discussing. And what's that issue? Whether Charata alone is sufficient or whether you need to find a petach. And the fact that the guy walks in and says, boy, what an idiot I am, I made this neder, that's not good enough. You have to bring it back to understanding what if you had realized at the time of the neder, not now you know you're an idiot, but what if you would have been able to recognize then that you're an idiot? Then you wouldn't have made the neder. That's the important thing. Now, the difference is, again, I'm telling you this is the pshat of the Ron, so you know, grin and bear it. So the difference is whether if we're talking about charata, so then you don't need to concentrate. If a guy's telling you he's an idiot, so then fine, thank you very much. I'm glad I don't have to work on it. If you know it yourself, so then we're in complete agreement. I always thought you're, no, I don't mean that. But the bottom line is that's good enough for the charata, right? Okay, so now the question is this, according to the Ron. Supposing you're right in the middle of target practice, right? So now you're shooting at a target. A guy walks in and he asks you, Rebbe, I have a neder. Yeah, tell me your neder. Well, you're not listening. It's okay. I'm a total idiot for making this neder. Great. Mutalacha. So therefore, the Kiddush is, that's an amazing shot. So the Kiddush is, according to the Ron, that even if you're in the middle of target practice, you're allowed to be matir a neder. Honestly, this is what he says. So it's amazing. So Chiya Bar Rav was shooting at the target while he was matir the neder, which shows that you do not need to concentrate, and that basically you can be doing whatever it is that you're doing, talking on the phone, shooting target practice, hunting birds, I don't know, whatever you're doing, that's fine. Oh my gosh. All right. And that's as far as Chiya Bar Rav and Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Well, he didn't go so far as target practice, but he wouldn't care whether he's sitting or standing or walking or whatever. He would just casually respond, which again shows you don't need a petach. It's good enough to do charata. Now, why in the world we would bring this in the middle of the issue about whether miyom el yom means 24 hours and Levi, who wanted to be matir doing 24 hours. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling. Okay, but this is what he says. The Rush says, we're talking about the sugya of miyom el yom. So the question is, if you come into Besdin, now, the husband walks in and says, gee, what do I do? I just heard that my wife made a neder. So here's the problem. The problem is, just like today in South Africa, everybody ran out of electricity. So the clocks aren't working. So what do you do? Beautiful. You shoot an arrow, right, into the wall. You draw a line as to where the shadow is. Then tomorrow at that time, you tell the guy, okay, see this arrow? Tomorrow at this same point, as the sun is approaching this line, that's the last chance you're going to have to be made for the neder. That's what it means. And when it says that Rav Huna, Rabba Bar Rav Huna was sitting down, he would stand up. Well, of course he would stand up. If he stands up and the sun is going to cast a shadow, he has somebody go, draw a line on the ground where his shadow falls when he stands up in his chair, and he tells the guy, you see that line? Tomorrow by then you better have done the hafara or you're not going to be able to do the hafara. From which we learn that since the sun has a tendency to come back to the same place every 24 hours, so he was paskening that you have 24 hours, and he literally has miyom el yom. You must say that fits in a little bit better into the sugya. Okay. What can we do? Those are the two approaches, and leave it to your judgment as to how you want to learn the sugya.